Stanton Radio. World Polio Day was acknowledged just recently, and a lot of us have very strong memories of the polio epidemic sweeping the country and inflicting this debilitating condition on so many. Vision stays with us of people entrapped in an iron lung fighting to survive, and then children struggling to walk in cumbersome calipers. Well, my next guest, Cheryl Abrandy, contracted polio at the tender age of 12 months, and since then she's undergone 36 subsequent observations. In fact, she's one of 440,000 Australian polio survivors, and she joins us now. Cheryl, good afternoon to you.
Oh, good afternoon, Jenny.
Always good to speak to you. I've spoken to you about real estate on several occasions.
That's right.
You've really got ahead in what you do. Now, your chart from 12 months of age, my gosh, what hope did people have back then? I just remember it so, so clearly and how frightened everyone was. And you were such a baby, 12 months old.
Well, I actually contracted polio in Malaysia, so it took 3 days to diagnose my problem.
Oh my God.
So they actually laid me on a bed for 3 days and bound me up so I wouldn't be able to move. So that was how they treated people then. And then once it was confirmed and I had breathing problems, so they had to actually put me through to a lung, but I didn't stay there too long. And then afterwards, basically a lot of therapy.
Had we known about a polio epidemic prior to that happening? Because we're talking the 50s, aren't we? The early 60s?
No, 60s,
yeah.
60s for me, but it started in the 50s. But polio has been around for many years, even the 1885 onwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was quite common, but people sort of, only 1 in 200 patients, people actually contract the paralysis polio. So a lot of people had polio, a little bit of a cold, maybe weakness of muscles, recovered after a few days and didn't think anything about it.
And they didn't have long-lasting effects from it?
No, no.
Oh, so they're different.
And there's different strands of polio.
Okay.
But there's also the problem is these people don't realise that the actual effects come back between 30 and 50 years' time. So now they might be struggling from fatigue and subsidiary problems, you know, like pains, muscular aches, lack of endurability, breathing difficulties. Mm-hmm. But they will consider it as old age.
But it's maybe, you know, the effect of polio. So is a suggestion that perhaps they should look at treatment for that or get checked out to see? Yes, okay.
Yes. And we're very fortunate in WA because we've got a person called Tessa Jupp that runs Post Polio Network.
Yes.
And she's been so active with this that the late effects of the disability clinics at Fiona Stanley, you can actually book an appointment and to get yourself checked out.
Right. At Fiona Stanley.
At Fiona Stanley.
If you had polio as a child or, yeah.
Yeah, or if you've had some sort of contact with polio, because it was quite funny. I spoke to the physiotherapist and she was giving me a little bit of information, but I spoke to a private physiotherapist who recently saw a polio patient who's in the early 60s and has never been to a doctor, uses a cane, just continued living as though he had polio and never thought about seeing anybody related to his polio disabilities.
Goodness me.
Seeing people related to his breathing problems and his backaches and things like that, but nothing about his polio.
Well, for goodness sake, so people can sort of just push through it, I guess, but they don't need to, do they?
No.
What can be done to help people then if they've got these symptoms back?
They've really got to go and get themselves properly assessed, but the problem is a lot of doctors are unsure of what polio symptoms are because they haven't been around it. People that were treating, like people like me, have retired.
Of course, yeah.
And so really there's a resurgence at the moment with the Australian Polio Association. They've put in educators to talk to doctors.
Mm.
And we're just trying to get more doctors involved and healthcare professionals, you know, physiotherapists, speech therapists, everybody that's involved in the healthcare profession to assist with learning a little bit more about the disease and the deterioration the person suffers.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, the situation was that everybody has, if they were around in those days, has the vision of what it was like and seeing movie-tone news with children in those awful iron lungs. And the thing is, we never thought it would come back like this. I mean, the beauty is that now with the polio vaccination, it's saved so many people, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. It has. And there's a lot of money being spent on education, vaccination, but I think now we have to sort of turn the money towards developing better aged care facilities.
Oh, yeah, good point.
For polio people.
That makes an awful lot of sense, because if... Did you say that something actually can be done to help these people with the ailments,
yes,
that they have as they get older? Okay. Quite,
yes,
effective, or will some people deteriorate?
There's some people deteriorate too fast, but also to be comfortable, because, you know, it's the braces that you need as you get older. You need leg braces, you need how to walk, and instead of being subjected into a wheelchair... If we can actually get better braces for us, I mean, they don't call them calipers anymore, as I found out. They call them ankle-foot orthotics.
Goodness me, as if that makes a difference.
Basically, we, you know, the science of that needs to develop, because even someone like me, I went to find a caliper, and when they told me that my caliper would only fit somebody wearing sneakers or... boot-like shoes, how am I going to wear an evening dress with a boot?
Of course you can't. I was talking to you the other day about this, Cheryl, and you were saying that somebody was given their new set of calipers.
Exactly.
Went home and threw it in the wardrobe and wouldn't wear them. And, of course, you can understand that because, you know, you look at people with orthopedics these days and they're a modern style and they're shown, they're not hidden and that sort of thing. And you would think that they would work on, if they could possibly, to make something that's more suitable.
There is the light carbon sort of calipers made out, but there's still room for improvement. This needs to be really looked at. My husband reckons it's not sexy. That's why they're not moving into it. You know.
Well, it could be that. You know. But when you look at 400,000 people are aging, and unexpectedly these symptoms have returned for these people, you all are going to need some bit of extra help.
That's right. And now with 3D printing of limbs and everything, there's so much can be done. And I think at the moment the federal government has provided the Australia Polio Association with a sum of money and an educator to go around all the states. And I think if more doctors take control of this, or even medical students, if they have to do thesis within their time of education, maybe they take on creating new prostheses for polio people, or, you know.
Mm. Well, you're a businesswoman.
Something can be done.
Cheryl, you're a businesswoman. You should look at it as an opportunity to get those calipers or those... What did you say they call them now?
Ankle-foot orthotics.
Make them more glamorous. Okay.
Because even the shoes, I have to tell you, when you go and get your shoes done at the surgical shoe place, they don't make it in soft leather, and it costs about $1,000 to $2,000.
My God.
I mean, I want a Louis Vuitton, you know, red silk.
You want a pair of Jimmy Choo shoes.
Jimmy Choo shoes, I want.
Oh, Cheryl, that is, it's got to be looked at, most definitely. Look, thank you very much. You're very successful in real estate, and I will get to speak to you again about that, and so glad that you've got through with a sense of humour, and thank you very much for explaining all of that today. It's quite an eye-opener.
Okay, thank you very much, Jenny.
Thank you, Cheryl. Cheryl Leprandi joining us there. Quite interesting, isn't it? I do remember it vividly. Around the river, you couldn't swim in the river, you weren't allowed to catch a bus, you weren't allowed to go into the city because it was so contagious.